I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
For me, I think I find comfort in relationships probably because of the fact that I didn't receive the most amount of attention from my parents. So it does go back.
My therapist would agree.
I'm ducking out, you're ducking out. Let's dike out together, see what it's all about.
Diking out, diking out, diking out, diking out.
Hi, and welcome to Diking Out, a podcast that helped break the lesbian internet hashtag genie in the bar. I'm Carolyn Bergier.
I'm Melody Kamali, and today we're diking out with musical artist Gia Woods about being between relationships. We've all been there.
Oh, have we? Well, a couple of announcements. This is your last chance, last call, if it hasn't sold out already, for our live recording. And guess what, Melody?
What?
We didn't talk about this beforehand, but I'm putting it out here now because it was a thought that I meant to discuss beforehand. It's a full episode that we're doing at this show. So I think that we should invite people who are there to come up and share their gayest thing. So if you want to share the gayest thing you did this week and have that be, because we're going to release this episode eventually, but you want to come to the show live at Caveat October 13th. If you can't make it, if you're not in New York, there will be a virtual watch party. Maybe we can have someone monitoring the chat or something. I don't know how that works. To shout out gayest things, whatever, be a part of it. We're so excited about this live recording. It's the first time that we're doing a live recording together.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's going to be great.
I completely didn't register that it is a live recording and it will be released as an episode.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll live on.
Get in there, though, on the ground level. Also, an announcement. I am officially, though sadly, without Melody, will be going to Orlando for Girls in Wonderland. Now, I'm not part of the programming not at that level of celesbian yet, but they have invited me and to go and experience it and cover it for the podcast. So VIP. I'm going as a VIP observer of Girls in Wonderland to really experience this queer scene in Florida that people keep telling us about ever since we mentioned Tampa Bay's, the Tampa Bay show that hasn't come out yet, which we're still waiting for. People are like, you need to know that there is a thriving scene here. And from what I've seen, I believe it, but now I'm going to experience it firsthand. So I'll be at Girls in Wonderland if you're there. You know, if you're following me on Instagram, and don't be shy, come and say hi, and would love to meet any listeners who are going to be there as well.
So that's October, 14th to
the 18th.
The 18th.
There's all sorts of crazy fun programming. It's a lot of pool parties, burlesque shows. There are going to be lots of dancers. There's going to be a comedy show. I'm going to be, you know, mingling, finding who will be the next guest on Dyking Out. Guests,
yes.
Plural, because there are going to be some cool people there. Also, Aaron Mandy of Gen Q will be there. And yeah. I mean, a lot more to report back after.
Definitely.
Last announcement is that
we're back in a live way.
Yes.
In a live,
a different live way,
way
than we've been. Yeah.
We're doing, more our speed. Stand-up shows again. Stonewall is finally back to live programming, has reached out, has given us the go-ahead to resume our monthly stand-up shows.
Yeah, so starting in November, we'll post the dates. We'll get a great lineup together. We'll be back at Stonewall once a month on Monday nights doing our stand-up comedy, just showing everyone that dykes reign supreme in the comedy sphere. Well, that's a lot. There's so much going on. You got to tell me, even though I was there.
Yeah.
What was your gayest thing this week?
I think you have an idea. I mean, we had a pretty romantic night recently. Me, you, Allie, former guest, Amelia Bain.
Amelia Bain was there, yes. And unfortunately, Cecilia wasn't there.
Cecilia could not make it, but...
No, family's in town.
We went to see Lady Lamb, one of my favorite artists, at City Winery. Lady Lamb is a lesbian, folk, Americana musician.
Yeah.
And...
So talented.
So talented. I've been a fan for years. I didn't register that this was going to be a different kind of show, though, because I'm used to listening to Lady Lamb with the full band. This was a Lady Lamb with strings tour she's doing at City Wineries across the country.
Okay. Well, I knew she was doing it, the one in New York. Now, City Winery is also related to City Vineyard, where we've gone to see shows before. And if there is a City Winery in your city, it is a chain, check it out, because they do tend to feature a lot of queer artists. That's where we saw Shelley Wright. I've seen Jill Sobule there. Janine Garofalo isn't queer, but Janine Garofalo is performing there. Well, when this comes out, it would have been last night, but...
They're getting a lot more stand-up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They have been doing stand-up. They did John Mulaney, right? When he came back, he did it at City Winery.
I was talking to one of the bookers from Caroline's Comedy Club, and we heard that they're basically taking all the business from Caroline's. It's like becoming a pretty up and coming place for good stand up shows in New York. It was a great venue. I'd only been to the smaller City Vineyard. Is that where we saw Shelley Wright?
Yeah. This was my first time at City Winery too. I've only been, I think they had a different location in the past, but anyway, it had been a while, and it was my first time seeing a show there, and it was awesome, and it sounded incredible. Lady Lamb, I mean, her voice is great to begin with, but also just like the acoustics, like she came out and did one song just a cappella, and it was crazy good and powerful.
Really set the tone.
Yeah. But anyway, continue with any other gay details about this. You know, you and Allie were being cute.
Oh,
yeah.
I was having my little Cabernet and getting real cozy with Al.
Sweater weather.
It was sweater weather. And I wore that big cow neck sweater. Couldn't help myself. The second it drops below 70, I'm in a turtleneck.
Yeah.
It was so good. I love Lady Lamb. I went on a trip to Europe in 2019 with my best friend who is obsessed with Lady Lamb, but it's just like that her latest album, Even in the Tremor, had just released and we were playing it on repeat. So I just like associate a lot of my Euro trip memories. They're like scored by Lady Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a nice little emotional attachment to the album. I do like Even in the Tremor because she gets a little more personal in her lyrics on that album. Like she's definitely a storyteller and using like she, they, like pronouns about like telling stories about other people right. in past songs, but it's a lot more of a personal album, her latest. And obviously I seek out any gay lyrics. Like there's some lyrics she has about untangling her lover's hair after she gets out of the shower. Like, just like, ugh, it's so good and tender and queer. And I love her music. It was yes. great. I hope you
and
enjoyed it.
And we asked
it.
Her to dyke out.
Yeah, we asked her to dyke out after. Yeah. I was being a little geek about it. I always feel like I'm like putting people out by asking in person. So I was nervous about that. But she said, yes.
Yeah, no,
I'd love nothing more.
Right down to business. I'm like, hey.
Take
we
this
host
card.
A podcast. Yeah. This is the business card. We're going to dyke out. Yeah. That was great.
It was a nice, very gay evening. We finally got to hang out and not stress out about accommodating L Word stars, not at a watch party. You know, just like it was nice for us to hang out in a low pressure environment for once.
Yes.
Like it's like we weren't producing something and we got to actually attend something together.
Yeah.
So that was great.
Yes.
What about you? What's the gayest thing you did? I think I might know.
Well, you know, after that show, so I'm glad you got to meet Amelia because we had interviewed her before you joined the pod. Amelia is a good friend of mine who I met early on when I started doing comedy. And we wanted to catch up. So after Lady Lamb, we went to Cubbyhole, which is pretty gay. I haven't been to Cubbyhole since before the pandemic, so it was really fun to go back in there and met some listeners. So shout out to all the listeners who said hi. It was nice to see you / meet you. And also, I just have to put this out here. Somebody bought us shots. So Amelia and I were talking and then this other person started talking to us and then somebody just came and handed us three shots and then turned away. And I thought it was the bartender and I was like, oh, maybe the bartender knows like how we helped with the lesbian bar project or whatever. Like Cubby knows about dyking out. They know who we are, whatever. It wasn't. It was just like some person and I was just like, oh, thanks. Like, but now I'm like, oh, wait, was it a listener? And then I didn't go to talk to them. And then I also gave the shots away and I feel bad, but I had to drive home. So I wasn't drinking. And so I'm saying all this just in case this one person is listening and great. Like, thank you for the shot. I appreciate the gesture. That was very nice of you. And I'm sorry that I didn't follow up. I just thought you were working there, that you were the bartender and just, I don't know, and busy working. Anyway.
It's okay.
Wow. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Stop the spiral. Just put an end to it. But we know that the real gayest thing was, but we can't say, it can't just be the Henrietta Hudson watch party that we host where, you know, the actresses who play Gigi and Danny show up and canoodle and break the lesbian internet. Like that in itself can't be the gayest thing because we'd be reporting on all the cool watch party stuff that happens every week, even though this was like particularly crazy.
Yeah.
What made it extra gay was right beforehand, ran into my ex-wife. My ex-wife was at the bar. Because there was a gay basketball league meetup going on at the bar. I'm like, oh, these basketball dykes have no idea what's coming tonight because I just found out that the actors were coming and then I saw my ex and I'm like, this is a lot. This is a lot to take in. It was fine. It was all good. But you're like running into your ex-wife.
I mean, when they say the dyke community is small, who knew they meant you'd be crammed in a bar with your ex-wife and two stars from the L Word. I mean,
right.
Never thought it'd come to that.
Right. So, wow. What a great time. Oh, you're curious about Genie in the Bar? Well, then I'm sorry. You have to be a patron to get all of the details. And boy, are there details.
Oh, we got the scoop over there. I mean,
scoop on scoop on scoop, play by play. We witnessed a lot. We got a lot of information from people who were on the scene when we couldn't be. And you'll hear the whole story, soup to nuts, on the Patreon for as little as $5 a month. Patreon.com/dykingout. That's what keeps the podcast going. So do that. Thank you. We really did break the internet. It's
the gay, almost the lesbian internet.
Week later, and we're still having it pop up everywhere, left and right. Still getting notifications on Twitter. I'm still getting cropped out of that photo. With
sorry,
him,
but
you know. I know.
It's funny.
Whatever. I look good in that photo. I'm so proud. Let me tell you, I'm so proud of that photograph because I'm in a picture with like two certified babes, you know, actresses. And it was a flattering photo of me. It could have gone real bad. It could have gone. It could have been bad.
Oh, my God.
It's and I just was like, wow. Thank you, photography. Thank you, Samsung Galaxy.
No.
S21, that my Android that everyone likes to knock, you know.
Wow. I mean, as what's funny is the quickness with which you were cropped out of that photo. I mean, you posted it and then it's just them two and a wisp of pink hair next to Ari circulating the internet, like past
life comes
around, like
at you
just
fast.
Viral immediately. Sans Carolyn.
What can you do? No respect. No respect for dyking
after
out.
All we do for you.
Oh, speaking of dyking out, we are dyking out with another, you know, this is probably going to be another lesbian on a rising lesbian.
Another Persian
artist. Another Persian. Wow. That's really, I love it. I love that we are attracting Persian lesbians. We have musical artist Gia Woods, and we're dyking out about being between relationships. It's a topic that we retroactively decided on, so keep that in mind when you're listening. If you're like, wait, what are they talking about again? Between relationships. Gia is an LA-based pop singer who has been featured on last year's Out 100. She's been in Calvin Klein's Pride Collection campaign, performs all over the place. Her latest EP, Heartbreak County, is out now. It just recently came out, so go check it out after you listen to this episode. Let's get into it.
Okay. Salam, Gia. This is my way of telling you I'm Persian too. Thank you so much for dyking out with us.
Thank you so much for having me. Okay, surprise.
Surprise. So happy to have you on. We've had like a string of queer Iranian guests, sort of, right? In the last year since I joined Carolyn.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't have them before you joined, and yeah. I feel like you're like a magnet pulling in the Persians,
sure,
which I love.
Yes. Wait, there's more of us? Oh my God.
I know, right? I'm slowly finding out. Yeah. Through this podcast. We're not the only ones.
Yeah.
Though it can feel like that.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, gay Persians, to be honest. Like maybe one, but
yeah.
You never know.
You're in LA and you don't know. Because yes. I thought that the queer Persian scene there was popping, if there was one. That's also just based on Generation Q of the L word, that there are two Persian queers on the show. So I'm like, okay, if there's two on the show, there must be 200.
Oh my God, no. I heard about that actually, because I haven't been watching this new season, but someone told me there's two Persian queer relationships. Like there's a queer
femmes,
relationship
yeah.
in there. And I was like, yeah, femmes. And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Insane. I was like, okay, me? Like, what?
They straight up speak Farsi together. It's wild.
Heard. That's so insane. Like,
right?
That's amazing. That's insane.
Agreed.
We've come a long way to even get there. That's crazy. I never imagined in all my life I would see, you know, two Persian, you know, queer females on TV.
Yeah, let alone one. Right.
Yeah, literally.
Well, before we get too deep into this convo and learn more about you, can you tell us, Gia, what is the gayest thing you've done this week?
So the gayest thing, this is really fucking gay, actually. I went to a gay prom.
Oh, my God. That's so gay.
Tell us more.
Yeah, gay. My friend actually just shot a music video and released the record. And she, the video was like gay prom, and she actually ended up having a gay prom. So that was really, really cool.
So like beyond the music, like everybody just treated it like a regular prom, and then a video was shot like during it?
No, so the music video was shot and then just as like a fun kind of party celebration.
Yeah.
And to kind of keep the theme of the video, I think she kind of had like a celebratory party to go with it.
Love
it. This was after the music video was shot, but everyone dressed up and like everyone was, 90% of the people there were all gay. So it was really cool. I was like, damn, that is the gayest thing ever.
Yeah.
Tell us about your outfit.
My outfit. Oh my God. I was wearing a sparkly bodysuit. I feel like I always have to wear a bodysuit. If I don't, I feel weird. It's like a part of my skin. So I had to bedazzle it, and I was wearing a long trench coat with it. So, I felt like I was going to prom. It was great.
Adding that to the bucket list. Yeah.
Gay-mazing.
I want to go to a gay prom.
Yeah, we should throw one.
Yeah. Okay.
That would be pretty iconic.
So tell our listeners a little bit about you, about your music, what's coming up around the corner. You're making music videos, you got singles dropping. What's up?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So I have my new project, Heartbreak County, that is actually dropping next week, next Friday. So I'm really, really excited about that. It's a 4-song, kind of like a little EP package. I wrote it during the pandemic, which is really weird and interesting because, navigating and trying to like be in the studio and also, working through Zoom. It was a very interesting time to be writing music. But it was the one thing that motivated me during that time. I felt like, we all obviously felt really weird and sad and depressed and unsure of what was going to happen. So this project was kind of like my journal entry and my escape during that time. And the project is actually about my relationship with Los Angeles because I was born and raised here. So I feel like this project really emulates my views on LA and growing up and all the stuff that I've seen and what LA means to me, and which I feel like Heartbreak County kind of says it all. I feel like the project kind of speaks about like how LA is this place where everyone comes here to follow their dreams. And it's this place that everyone kind of has this ideal fantasy about LA. And the truth of it is that, it's not always the glitz and the glamour. And I think a lot of people come here thinking one thing. And a lot of time they don't get where they want to get to or what they thought they were going to get out of it. It's like, I feel like there's so much more heartbreak than success stories here. So it was really cool to kind of like tap into that and write about that. Cause I feel like I'm always the only LA native in my friend groups. Like everyone's always like, oh, I'm from New York. I'm from here. And right. I'm always like, I'm from here. And no, everyone's like, wait, really? Like you're the only person I've met that's actually from LA. And I'm like, what? So that's definitely weird and makes me feel a little weird, but I feel like I know LA for what it is because a lot of people think they know it. And I'm like, no, you don't.
Yeah. What's it like being a native, like your experience versus like with the expectations that maybe you had for what was possible, as somebody who wanted to be an artist? Well, you didn't even always know that you wanted to be, a musician, a pop singer, right?
No, I didn't actually. I mean, I knew I wanted to do music, but I never knew where to start and where to go and, where to start the process. It kind of fell into my lap, which was, I'm really thankful for. With LA, I think it's just growing up here. It feels really superficial. A lot of the time, like I grew up in a high school where like, the school next door, like Demi Moore's daughters went to school there, or like Jack Black went there at one point. Like all these schools have like these ties to different celebrities. Even like I can name so many, I can't think right now, but like there's literally been so many kids, especially growing up, where they were like the popular kids because their parents were celebrities and all this stuff. And so that side of things was definitely annoying. I didn't like that. That was the one thing I was like, oh my God, like everyone just cares about this person because of their parents, you know?
Right. So
that was weird, but that also kind of ties into what I feel like sometimes LA kind of emulates as a whole in terms of like celebrities and stuff like that, because I think that's what Los Angeles and Hollywood kind of represent.
Yeah, were the choirs and theater programs growing up in school very intimidating for that reason? Were there
did you have to poison people to get the roles? Like,
I mean, honestly, not my choir. I was in choir like from middle school to high school, and that was like the one class and the one time in my, like, in my earlier years where I felt like I was seen and I was a part of, like, a community, because that class was just everything, you know? Like, all those kids were so normal. They were not annoying at all.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it was very nice to be in a normal class with, like, just kids who just literally love music and want to sing Beatles songs. Like, all we did was sing Beatles songs. Like, oh, how I iconic. Yeah, we did a little Beatles tribute tour. So, That was like the one class, I would say.
Sounds like, a little like Glee, but okay.
People. It did. I know. I actually told you this the other day with someone. I was like, it literally did feel like Glee.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Very gay.
Very gay.
So tell us. So you said you went through a recent breakup.
That is true. Yes.
Is it too soon to feel the trauma from that? Is that going to hit you in like a year?
It was last night, Carolyn. Back off.
It actually was like a few days ago. Like, I mean,
oh my gosh.
It was like a very long process of this, like, you know, relationship limbo shit. And I definitely feel like I'm not really traumatized from the relationship. I'm more so just, I think, traumatized in general by like being in multiple relationships. Cause I was like, I feel like when I got out of my first relationship, which when I was in high school, it led me to another one immediately after. And my first love was in high school, and we dated for 2 years, and then she went to school and lived in Boston and I lived in LA. But then after that, I dated someone for 4 years, which was like, yeah, way too long, from like 18 to 23. And then right after that, I dated my most.
It's like my life story.
I'm like, oh my God, I have a relationship. I'm like, I can't be, I literally need to stop being in relationships for like just a second. Like, yeah. I need to just reset. And I don't know if it's a lesbian thing. I know I've heard stereotypes about us, but like, we just love to date. We just love to be in relationships. Like, you know, I don't know. I feel like for me, I have the trauma of just being in them so much. And I think I need to kind of just reset and like kind of just be on my own and like kind of learn what I need to learn out of all of them in order to actually be in a healthy relationship next time. Cause I'm not going to be a good partner if I don't.
Good luck. No, yeah, I tried that. I try that every time. I'm like, you know, I just need this time for myself. I need to really get in touch with what I want. But instead, and I don't know if this is relatable for you, I used to do the thing where like I'd get out of a relationship and then I'd find somebody who is the polar opposite of that person and get into a relationship with them, and then find the opposite of that person and get back a little bit closer to the previous one.
Yeah, I think I kind of did that, like, actually with my last ex. Like, it was almost like the polar opposite. And it's funny enough, like, it feels like I'm getting that done to me right now. I mean, I don't know what is going on in any of my ex's worlds, but, you know, the community is really small. We all find out things, and it's just funny. I think it's really funny, and I don't know. It says a lot, too. I feel like, why can't people just kind of set that reset and just be alone for a second? You know, it's like, right. Why do we always feel the need to go find the next person, go find the next fix?
Because it feels good.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like all about finding and dating people. I love dating. I don't really I don't like seeing multiple people. I like kind of like either being single or seeing someone like one person. So I get that. But I just think going too quick into something, you know, I think that you're not really healing or learning much. You're kind of just letting something take over. And I think that's something I've been doing a lot, and I really need to reset that. But it also helps me with my music. Like, I don't need to do it for my music, but it's just like, I'm all the music I've written about, you know, comes from these like crazy relationships. And I always feel like I learned something. So, you know, it's like, I think you date, it's almost like you're seeing a mirror of yourself when you're dating sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've literally been crying about someone while swiping, like already re-downloading the apps and looking for the next thing. That's not healthy.
Wait, right now? Did you just...
No, I'm in a very long-term relationship right now. But before this, I was broken up with and devastated and knew I had to be alone for a while. But there's something, I can't help it. Like, I was downloading the apps and just immediately got back on. Even if I had told myself I wasn't going to meet up with someone, just, I think it's just to know you're wanted. I don't know. Maybe that's a whole other issue, but I can't help it.
I know. Yeah, no, I think that's something that a lot of people experience right after, like, either getting broken up with or getting out of a relationship in general, and being the one that broke up with someone. I think, like, it goes both ways, you know? And I think, like, I just think, you know, relationships are great, but they shouldn't be like your whole life, you know? Like, I think it's so important to spend your, especially like your younger years, and even, I mean, any year, honestly. But I think, like, for me, I'm like in my mid-20s. So it's like, I really want to make these next few years not all about relationships. Like, I feel like I'm like, okay, like, I literally dated so many people and single dating. And it's like crazy. It's like, why do that to yourself? And not just like face the truth of the fact that like sometimes you just need to be alone. Sometimes you just need to like face your actual demons and your fears. And I think that's when you become the real version of yourself, like the real version that you know you are, but you're kind of just like hiding and escaping through relationships. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you hit on something, that fear. I think fear is a big driver of it, or at least I know for me personally that like any time I was single, immediately I'd be like, well, I'm going to die alone. I think part of it is that when you're queer, you can feel like there's a scarcity of options. So when someone comes along and they like kind of fit the bill, you're like, well, this is it. This is my chance, or I die alone, and rush into it. Like, did you ever feel any of
I mean, I think with my second relationship, I was getting out of it. I was like, I'm never going to find anybody, because I felt like I have such a specific type.
What is it? Tell us.
I like femme girls, but I also don't want them to be like completely femme, but I don't know. Like, I don't really like too much masculine. Like, and I think that's like, I find them attractive. I find all girls attractive, but it's just like, I have like a very specific type. And I feel like it's rare when I like see or meet someone, which, you know, also I need to stop being so annoying and being like, this is my box and this is my perfect version.
Yeah.
It's like, you never get what you want anyways. But I did feel like I rushed into the next relationship after that, really, the one that I was just talking about, because I felt like, wait, this is like, this person's my type. This is exactly what I wanted. And then, but I wasn't ready. I was just going through, I lost someone in my life that was really close to me. And, you know, so I think I was burying myself into the relationship. I think I was also I was scared to be alone. And I think I also like, I really liked the person. So it was a really mixed feeling. But I think that's a common thing too. Like, sometimes you get into relationships when you're scared to face the truth of what's really happening, you know?
Yeah, you really liked the person. Like, how do you recognize that someone is your type, is probably compatible, but also be like, you know what, I'm gonna pass. Like, I don't know how anyone does that.
Right.
I'm gonna bow out.
Yeah.
It's hard. But I think like now that I'm like, okay, I could literally meet the most perfect person tomorrow, but I'm not going to like, I'm just not gonna give it all my attention. Like, it's funny because it's like I did just get out of a relationship, and I already have like had multiple like little interactions with people hitting me up, and I'm like, ah, like, I'm like, I don't want that. I'm like, no, I'm like, it's too soon. Like, I just don't, you know what I mean? Like, it's so crazy how our community is so small. Everyone just like finds things out.
Talk about that a little bit, about the LA scene, because it's like this mythical thing for everyone who lives outside of it, mostly because of the L word, but you know,
gave us a lot of expectations.
Yeah. Yeah. Does it really feel like that small?
I mean, it does. Cause I think like, it's crazy how like all the people that I know, you know, the other friend groups that I know, like I know like so many friend groups that all do different things, but it all comes back to the same place. We'll be at the same places, parties, events. Like there's multiple people I bump into out of every fucking weekend, almost, it feels like. So I think the scene is, especially the music scene, it's so small. So I can't really speak on like the other communities, but I feel like the gay scene and the music scene, it's like the tiniest click ever. Like I feel like most people know each other in music and most people each other in the gay scene. But I also, I'm surprised sometimes, like I'll meet someone that's like from LA or living in LA and they're gay and I'm like, wait, I've never heard of you. Who are you? So I'm like, wait, this is crazy. So that's always surprising. But for most of the time, I feel like it's just like a very small scene, and you know, all the gays know each other and all the music people know each other. So
yeah. Is there a gay music scene, like a gay scene within the music scene, or would that just be like three people?
Well, that scene is actually pretty small. Like I think the ones that I know, they're like, I would say like three at or four at the, like I can actually count that I know. But the gay scene is pretty small, like as musician wise. It's not like there is more than ever during this time, like especially in the last few years. But you know, we have Lil Nas X and we have all these great artists now, but I think in my circle of people, like I could say like three to four people, so it's not that many.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
In terms of being somebody who has been in like back-to-back long-term relationships, do you think any of that was shaped by like your family and your upbringing? Like, are those the examples of relationships or like your ideas about commitment? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm like unlashing a lot of the, you know, the thoughts of like why I've gone to so many relationships and, you know, especially like talking it out with my friends. Like, you know, like when you talk to your friends, you're just like, wait, oh my God, this obviously makes sense why I keep doing this.
Helps to hear it out loud.
Literally. Like, it helps. The other day, my friend was just like, yeah, it seems like this goes back to your childhood. And I was like, what do you mean? And they were like, well, you know, did your parents give you a lot of attention growing up? Did they give you a lot of love and all this stuff? And I'm thinking about it. I'm like, my mom and my dad always, always wanted to make sure there was food on my plate. I was taken care of. They did spoil me at times, and they would kind of almost spoil me to the point where they would just give me things and not actually engage with me other than doing the bare minimum of what you're supposed to do as a parent. You know, like they took care of me, but I didn't feel like mentally I connected with my parents. Like I felt like my parents didn't really ask me about my day or how was school or who are you dating or, you know, who are your friends? Tell me about your friends. What are, like, how's music? Like, even music, like my mom and my dad, like they would provide me things like, you know, if I really wanted my guitar or like I wanted to learn an instrument, like they would put me in class and stuff. But I realized like I wasn't nurtured in a way that other people have that I've compared to from like friends of mine. And it makes sense why I'm so needy and want to be in a relationship. It makes sense. It literally makes sense. So it's like, yeah. How do you undo that? I think it's just coming to face with it and understanding like, okay, like, why do I have these relationship patterns? I just need to face the truth is like, sometimes you're going to be alone. Like you have to be alone. And I think it's also interesting. It ties back to like, how we as humans feel like we were born into this world to be in cults and communities in terms of like being surrounded by people. So I think it's human nature to want to be around people. But I think for me, I think I find comfort in relationships probably because of the fact that I didn't receive the most amount of attention from my parents. So it does go back.
My therapist would agree.
Wow. Yeah. You triggered me.
I mean, I'm like 10 years older than you and just figuring this stuff out. So good on you. Yeah. Very proud
of
you.
Think so? I'm like, I feel crazy. I'm like, I hope my ex doesn't hear this. We just broke up like 5 days ago officially. Oh, <God.
laughs> I hope it's officially. I hope we don't get a call next week. That's like, scrap the episode. I mean,
oh, yeah.
It's in the window.
Like, no, we're keeping the episode. She's got to be alone.
I'm sticking to this no matter who calls me or texts me. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Wow. Is that a Persian parent thing? Because I'm like, wow, that's scarily relatable and maybe explains some of my attachment styles or neediness or, you know?
I think it is. I mean, a lot of the people that I know who are my friends, like they come from so many different backgrounds. Like none of my friends have Persian parents. And when I tell them what I went through growing up, they're always like, wait, really? Like your mom didn't ask you about your day? And I'd be like, no. Like she would just bring me tea to my room, like Persian tea.
Chai in a bud.
Literally, she'd be like, bring me chai and be like, here's dinner. Like always. It was never, ever like deeper than that. So I think it might be a Persian thing. And I also think it's a language barrier. Like my mom and dad were born in Iran, so they didn't really speak English really well. And that's why I cut them some slack because I'm just like, it's not their fault at the same time.
Yeah, I think it's like an immigrant parent thing and maybe not just like a specifically Persian thing.
What's my mom's excuse?
Yeah, come on, Dottie.
My dad's an immigrant, but Dottie, what's your excuse for not asking about my day? No, it really does go back to the thing with parents. And I know like for me too, part of it is liking to feel like that part of my life is settled or else I feel like I'm spiraling. Like if I'm not in a relationship, there's just like this big cloud of uncertainty that I'm like, no, I need like the same person. I need to know exactly where I stand with them and see them every day.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, it's hard to be like, it's like people become so codependent and it makes sense. I think it's hard to sometimes face those demons. But at the same time, if you don't face it now, I feel like life will just like always put it right back into your face until you deal with it, no matter what age you are and where you are in your life. Like, that's what I've learned is that like, you can literally have the best job and be the most happiest and making all the money in the world and and passionate about what you're doing and everything and all this stuff, but it's like you're never going to be satisfied until you face your demons, period.
Yeah,
right.
So, and it'll, life will always remind you of that no matter what. So I'm like, that's why I'm like, I would rather face it now than to keep pushing it down and avoiding it. Like, I think, you know, it'd be great to figure out what are the things that make me happy by myself. Like, is it me getting myself flowers? Call it weird, call it corny, call it whatever. But maybe you need to do that sometimes for yourself. Like, actually loving yourself. Like, I think people have a hard time loving themselves. Like, it's like they're always wanting someone else to show them love. But it's like, why can't you do it for yourself? You know, like, why aren't you able to make yourself happy?
So wise.
Yeah. I know. What?
I can't
the
get over
heck, Gia. I'm just thinking back on 25-year-old me right now. I'm like, right. She knew nothing. But you bring up a good point. Where were the Disney princesses that were getting themselves flowers? You know, like we're just like conditioned to seek, like that's the ultimate end goal in life is to find that person.
Well, sometimes I think too that women, like it's not, we're always told like it's not a good thing to really be that into yourself. Like, you know, I feel like women are shamed for like feeling good about themselves and not being ashamed of like their sexuality or not being, you know, like the same way that women like reject compliments from each other. Like if you tell your friend like, oh, you look so great today and be like, oh, I gained 5 pounds, you know, like that's such we can't take a compliment. We can't just be like, yeah, I'm awesome. And I feel like that's like starting to get better, but it's just like centuries of other messaging against that we're having to just like deconstruct little by little.
It's true. It's so true. I mean,
one Lizzo video at a time.
Yeah, no, it's a thing. And I think like that's why I'm learning and realizing all this stuff right now. Cause I'm just like, you know, I think I'm finally growing up. At least I feel like I am. I don't know where I'm tapping into this, but it's also just talking about it. Like these are the things, like, I think sometimes it's like women are so scared to be vulnerable with other women because they're scared they're going to judge them. And like, luckily, I have like really good best friends who they're really good friends and give really good advice. And some of them make the same mistake, even though they're giving me the advice. But I'm willing to just take their advice and be like, you do, you know, you know, and I think that it's really hard to take control and make the decision and stick to, you know, a period of time where you're not in back-to-back relationships. And because there's always someone that you can distract yourself with. Honestly, I think that's easy. I think that's like, it's actually the easiest thing to do, in my opinion. Like, yeah. But finding happiness, that's the hard part, because you can get happiness through someone being like, you're beautiful, you're this, but it's like, you obviously aren't happy because you need to hear it so much more from someone else than yourself. So
yeah.
I think that's a really big sign. And I think, you know, you're never going to be in a healthy relationship until you have a healthy relationship with yourself. And like, I stand by that 100%. And yeah, I mean, I'm so motivated to go back in the studio right now. Like, let's go.
Yeah.
You're going to write a power anthem.
I just wrote my favorite song I think I've ever written like 2 days ago. And I just feel like I'm getting back to me again. Like, I feel like I'm getting back to myself. Like, my music is always my passion. It's not even a job for me. So it's like, that's happiness to me. But the more that I get away from it and focus on, you know, stupid relationships that are kind of going in circles, it's like, there's no reason to do that. There's no reason to waste your time doing that. Unless it's mutual. And I think those are the things also you come to terms with when you grow up and you date around. It's like, is this worth my time or is this not worth my time? You know?
Right.
Breakups traditionally the best thing for music.
Yeah. They literally are. I mean, art. Every artist I know that I love, right. Most of their songs are about people. I mean, it's so crazy. It's like, I even think about people on the bigger scale of like, you know, like an Ariana Grande, like all her music.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Like, you feel like you dated, I felt like I was with her on her relationship journey.
Me too.
Journey.
Thank God for her breakups, though.
That's what I'm saying. Is like, yeah. I'm like, break up with your girlfriend, like that song, and you know, Seven Rings, and
literally, thank you, next, yeah.
I think those stuff, you know, that stuff is so like, it's so crucial for an artist to be like vulnerable and open, because it's like, that's how people relate to what you're going through. So it's like, I never shy away from, you know, people asking me about what I'm going through in my personal life, because it's like, you know what, I'm doing this for a reason, and it's to be vulnerable and to do it for myself. And I, if anything, the reason I'm putting it out is also for other people to take it for the, you know, for their own stories and their own, and relate it to their own lives. So, yeah, I'm excited to write my breakup anthem.
Yeah, you're like, I do this for you.
Like, I do this for you guys.
So do you think you can like casually date, like, or would you just cut yourself off cold turkey from any sort of dating, knowing you're a serial monogamist, because you would be afraid to fall into old patterns? Or would you just be like, maybe it's different this time, I have these boundaries set in place, I'm going to go on some casual dates, I'm not going to commit fully?
I mean, for me, I'm really gonna just put my foot down, because there's like, you know, like, I think I would be open to definitely like seeing someone casually, but, and that's kind of what I was actually trying to do previously, in my last relationship, but it ended up getting serious. It was a no-no, but I think, I mean, I'm really good at self-control when I'm like, I don't want to do this. I don't think I'm ready, whatever. Unless someone's kind of like making me feel like, oh no, this is okay, and then it comes to something else, that's where it gets, you know, messy. But I don't know, I think I would be open to definitely like dating casually and seeing people or one person, and just keeping it like, you know, if you're adding to my life and you have your own life as well, great. Like, I think that's what I want if I get into something again, but it's not going straight into it, you know, like I think it would have to be a long period of time, at least a year or more.
Okay.
And, you know, I think, I mean, I'm really like, I have my own shit. Like, I've never involved in someone's life in terms of getting obsessed with them to the point where like everything they're doing is like my world, unless I was like my, you know, my first relationship where I was like a little kid and I was like obsessed and I was like, wow, like, but in my last relationship, like I was really independent, for the most part. So if anything, I would want the next person I'm with to add, but also have their own life. So that's going to be the challenge of finding that person, because there's a lot of codependent.
A married woman.
You know, yeah, literally.
Well, follow-up question. Do you think you would be able to spot the telltale signs of a serial monogamist when you're ready to date and dating around? Would you be able to maybe see those red flags? And what do you think the signs of a serial monogamist are, like on a first date, what would they do or say that would be like, hold up?
I like how you're calling them red flags, Mel.
I know.
A red flag.
Not red. Yeah. Just tell, well, so telltale signs. Is that better?
I mean, I think I would say consistently, like, I think if you meet someone for the first time and you go on a date and they immediately want to hang out, like, the next day or the next 2 days after, I feel like, yes, that means that they're probably just interested in you, but it's also, if it's moving at a pace where it's like they will do anything to try to see you, that might be a little bit of a red flag.
Yeah.
I think if they're already like able to kind of like, I don't know, like, I think if they're already obsessed with you.
Yeah. They're saying like we a lot, you know, like.
Literally, people who just go straight into someone else, it's like you go straight to someone else because you just want to fill that void. So you're going into it as if it's like a new relationship. So I think you text them every day, you hang out a lot, you start making future plans already. Like, that's definitely a fucking weird thing.
Yeah.
Like making little trip plans. And it's funny because I literally just experienced that. So no.
I know. It just feels like lesbian culture, though. It's like.
I know. I mean, I'm literally experiencing, I'm on the other side now and I'm seeing it happen to me. And I'm just like, damn, like they don't just stop. Psycho. It's yep. Psycho. So I'm trying to stop. I don't care whoever else, you know, whoever I date, whatever they want to do with their lives, it's their life. I'm just trying to, you know, give the warning signs for anyone listening right now. Stay single and take it slow.
Yeah. Message to all dykes. Just try to stop.
Literally.
I have nothing to say on the topic because I got divorced and then immediately started dating my current wife.
You sure so. Did.
and I was like, and we were both like, we are not getting into relationships. And then we got married. So
mm-hmm. I have no good advice. Sometimes that happens. I mean, I just think it depends on, like, you know, sometimes you do happen to meet the right person and it's just like a weird timing, but.
Yeah. It's hard to say no to someone based on timing because that was the only, I was like, well, like everything's great, but it feels crazy to be like, even though it's not crazy and it's very valid to be like, but I'm not ready yet. And let's revisit this at another time. But I'm like, but this person's awesome and it's amazing. So why not now? Life is short. YOLO. Like,
I know. I mean, that's the thing. It depends on the people, I guess. Like for me, I was like, definitely that person that was like, I was like, I'm not ready and I'm not going to be ready for like a while. And I was really communicative about it. So it's like, I think if you're communicative and the person's able to work with your boundaries, then that's amazing. And I think, and then if not, then maybe those people aren't right for you. And if you also feel like you just want to get into it because you're like, this is the right person. I just know, you know, that's also valid. I think it just depends, but I think having no time alone, even when you're entering something again, you know, I think that's weird a little, like, or not weird, but I think that's just that is just not healthy for yourself. And, you know, it comes back around in years or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, months, like, so yeah, I mean, lesbians.
I think the most important guideline I would say is as long as you're over your ex. I think that's where it can get really toxic and messy is when people go from relationship to relationship while they're still hung up on the previous one or they're still like pining after the last person and then they jump into another relationship. I'm like, okay, well now you're going to screw someone else over by doing this, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely true too. Like, I think I've definitely been that person before.
Shame. No.
Yeah, it's hard. You know, you can sometimes do the wrong thing.
No, it's a very human thing to do. Yeah. For sure.
It's definitely like, I think there's just no, like, there's no blueprint for any of this. You know, it's
of course,
kind of like,
yeah.
You right. just do it. You just have your instincts and everyone is like, you know, relationship to relationship based on like, the person and how you're feeling. So it's like everyone's experience is always going to be different. But the truth thing I will say is like, we are all afraid to be alone. That's just the fact. We right. all agree on, period.
You mentioned your friends and, you know, friends can be such a great thing to invest your time into, like instead of relationships, right? Like I know a lot of people who are single for a while, but they have the best relationships with their friends. When you're in a relationship, do you find yourself being maybe less of a good friend? You know, like queer women do this. They start dating someone and then they kind of stop hanging out with their friends for a while or they don't hang out with their friends as much.
So in my previous relationships, I definitely feel like I was like that. I feel like I kind of neglected my friendships, but then in the last one, I was like really traumatized from that I feel like I was like, like I can't, I don't want to risk losing my friends and making them feel like they're not important because of the fact that I'm dating someone new right now. And but that doesn't right. happen a lot of time. I just think right now, like I'm happy that I didn't do it in my, you know, my last relationship. And that's something I'm definitely going to make as a priority going into my next relationship. It's like, I want you to have your own friends and I want to have my own friends, but we can also hang out with each other's friends and have it not be weird. And hope that, you know, we're on a mature level to make the time for that. And it's hard. I think it also gets different. Things change when like you know, sometimes your other friends could be also in relationships. So it's like the timing of that also, or if someone has a kid, if you're having, like, if someone's having a kid, that's a whole different thing. They're dealing with, like, a little newborn baby and balancing how to be a parent. So a lot of factors, you know, play into it. But I think for me, I definitely have had experience doing that. And that's something I don't ever want to do, because, like, I really admire my friendships. Like, I think that, like, they're almost just as good as partners, because it's like they're not going to leave you unless you're like a really bad friend, which I think a lot of people can't. It's weird. It's hard to get mad at your friends. I think it's like you get more mad at the person you're with, obviously, the most, and talk to the most a little bit more, maybe. Shouldn't be that way. But, you know, I think for my friends, I've had the same friends since I was like in high school. So I really cherish all of them. Like, I literally have like 5 best friends that I'm like, you guys are my people. I can call you at any time. Like, every breakup I go through, like, I literally go to their house and I sleep over for like a week, and then I reset and I'm like, okay, I'm back to life. Currently just did that and I feel great. So, you know, that's the bestie. That's why besties are the best.
Yes. Do you think J-Lo has besties like that, that she can rely on instead of like going from relationship to relationship? Where are J-Lo's besties?
Girl, I literally was wondering the same exact thing, because I really cannot believe that she just went back to her ex-husband, right? Or boyfriend.
In a heartbeat. It, like, that was crazy.
Didn't they end a long time ago?
Oh, no. Yeah. Ben Affleck and J-Lo. Yeah. But then after her relationship with A-Rod, she just like jumped to Ben, right?
She
went back to Ben.
She went back to Ben. Yes.
Yeah.
That is so crazy. I'm like,
she just got to take a breather. My God, I'm just concerned for Jennifer Lopez. She'll be fine.
She'll be fine. But it's so funny. It's like everyone just like jumps and jumps and jumps. But those are really manic. Those are like the ones that are just like, whoa, girl, like, calm down.
I hate to say this, because I feel like we're going to get attacked. We're going to get some 1-star reviews here. Uh-oh. Do I say it?
Say
Taylor Swift.
Oh God. Yeah. Taylor Every Swift. Time we bring up Taylor
she,
Swift.
She's got her squad. Weren't they?
She has a lot of besties,
but she's someone that it does always seem like there's always another person, you know?
It does, actually. It seems like she's always literally like moving on to, I mean, from what
which I can't judge, but mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, yeah, look, do you know anything being on the music scene? What's the tea? She gay?
We'll cut this out. She gay?
We'll cut it out. Tell us.
I wish she was gay. That would be so fun. Like, I know. Love to have T-Swift be gay. That'd be iconic. But no, I don't think so. I haven't heard anything, so Def don't think she's a gay girl, but yeah, she needs some besties. She needs, I mean, she has besties. I don't know.
Maybe she has too many and she needs some more core.
That's the thing. I feel like so many people have a lot of friends. Like, they can have like a huge group of friends, but then they don't really have like close relationships, just like one-on-one with like different multiple people. But like, you know, for me, sometimes I do crave, I'm like, why don't I have like that old friend group that when I was in high school, it was like, you know, it was like 10 of us and we would all hang out every weekend and have parties and stuff. But then I realized that after getting older, I'm like, sometimes it's like not really even possible. Like, with
no,
I mean, there's too many people to balance.
Especially the older you get. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I wondered that too. And someone pointed out, like, okay, when you're in high school, it's, you know, all your friends are the people that you spend your entire day with. You go to college, you meet your college friend, or if you go to college, then it's all the people that you meet and spend your days with. After that, if you go into like the workforce, it's your coworkers that you spend around, but they'll never be like your best friend group, you know, it's never going to be that. So then you have this like drop off in like your life up until a certain point has always been surrounded by like your closest friends that you see every day. And then all of a sudden that's replaced with like Judy from accounting. And
it's true. I mean, finding good friends to talk to, it's really hard, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now I'm like wishing you the best, obviously, on your journey to not continue patterns. But because you are a musician, I'm like, ooh, I'm thinking about all my favorite musicians and they have these patterns and all these good songs come out of them.
Yeah.
Like selfishly, musicians are our relationship martyrs.
Madonna's another one. Madonna has always been tied to somebody, some more public than others, but she's been with one of her dancers for a while now. And yeah, there's never seems to be like a stretch.
I know it's really hard. I'm like, we'll see. Like I tell myself right now and then watch. I'm gonna listen to this like 2 months later. I'm like, I already have a new girlfriend. Oh my
You're God. Gonna listen to it together.
Yes. Promise us that you will update us if you break the pact here.
I'm like, I will definitely let you know. I'm really, really trying. But it's hard. It's also like it really does go back to when people find out you're single. I don't know how things get said. There's people, their friends, whatever, but it's like I literally like already have had people talking to me and I'm like, I'm not ready for this. I'm like, I don't want this. Like,
they can yes. smell it.
Yes. I was just talking to a friend of mine who made their Instagram private and they said that they made it private because they were getting a lot of creepy messages. I'm like, did something like spawn that? And she goes, yeah, my boyfriend and I broke up. And then all of a sudden every guy in my life, like was sliding into my DMs, sending me creepy messages and like trying to make their
move. I can't make it private. Like I literally, I can't. Yeah, like, that's the thing. I can't go private. Yeah. So it's like,
Right.
Oh my God. And I noticed when like obviously like, you know, like a really pretty girl is in the DMs, I'm like, hi. I'm like, interesting. But yeah, I thrive in relationships, but yet I run away from myself in relationships. So
yeah.
Push and pull. But I do know one thing for sure is that I'm on a high right now in terms of just like feeling empowered and feeling like just so ready to like put myself first and, you know, write about this experience, especially in the studio. Like I have so much that I want to do and I feel like excited and also promoting Heartbreak County right now. It's like, I'm so excited for like my project that I've worked on for so long, you know? So it's like, I always remind myself, I'm like, I'm always going to be running from relationship to relationship maybe, but like, I still have myself at the end of the day.
Yes.
Love that. And yeah. How would you describe your music to our listeners? Like if they like, what kind of music will they like you? I mean,
I have so many different sounds in the last few years, but I would say like, you know, if you want like a dark alternative pop sound from me, you have it. If you want a dance record from me, you have it. An emotional track. Like I feel like a lot of songs have like I feel like I've really tapped into almost every emotion, especially with like my last project and everything. So I think my music would definitely be like crying on the dance floor but also screaming in your car with your friends.
Yes.
Did you say crying on the dance floor?
Yes.
Yeah. I love that. And I have been dancing to your music. I love Next Girlfriend so much.
Thank you. I mean, literally that song is like, it's like, I'm ready for my next girlfriend. Let's go. Just kidding.
Yeah, I know. It's on brand.
Very on brand.
Yeah, no, your music is so great. It's so great for dancing and you have an incredible voice. So everybody check it out. Where's the best place for them to follow you, to purchase your music, consume it? What do you want from our listeners?
You can follow me at Gia Woods on, you know, Instagram. I'm on TikTok. I'm on all the DSPs like Spotify and Apple and Tidal and, you know, all of them. So just at Gia Woods. That's it.
Yes. Love it.
Amazing.
Thank you so much, Gia.
Thank you so much
for having me, guys. This talk was like very therapeutic. I think I needed it.
Yeah, yes. I love it. Keep us posted.
Yes, very inspirational.
I definitely will. Thank you, guys.
Thanks. You. Take care.
All right. Well, we do have to get to our listener question, but Melody, I do have something that I'm going to inform the listeners a little bit at this point, because we talk in this episode a lot about being like a serial monogamist and going from relationship to relationship. And patrons already know this about me because I talk about it on the Patreon now, but I'm maybe not so monogamous anymore. And all of the details are on Patreon, starting with our off topic around episode 200. I'm only mentioning it here because I do not think any of my family is listening to this particular episode and made it this far.
oh my God, I did not know you were dropping this bomb.
I'm dropping this bomb just
on the episode
get
at large.
People to Patreon.
Yes.
Because things
we
are
quit our
lit
jobs.
There. Yes, it is. This is a pivotal time for us, so please go support us on patreon.com/dykingout. I just
I love
don't
that
want
you're
our patrons
like
to listen. I know.
You've like taken a hushed tone into a microphone.
It's fine. It's all okay. I will not pull this later. Okay.
All right.
Why don't we get to our listener question? Let's keep things moving.
All right.
Keep the show on the road.
Let's keep it going. Hey, Dykes and Bikes. This is partially a question, but was also hoping to give a little shout out to my incredible soon-to-be wife, Emily. Emily, your fiance, who both of you, stunning. We have two pictures. I encourage pictures, I think, moving forward.
Yes.
For listener questions. I'm loving it.
I love it. So much love in this picture. Just jumps stunning out. Yeah.
Photos. And I believe these are two dykes on hikes.
I love it. And I love Emily so much because Emily was a fan of the pod and was the one who got this listener hooked on Dyking Out. So that's a sign of a good wife. That's wife material.
Oh. And Julie Burkhart has written in to let her smoking fiance Emily know, damn, how did I get so lucky to be able to love you and be loved by you?
They are getting married October 10th. So Julie wants to say cheers to the gay agenda and forcing the government to recognize our love.
Love that.
Love it.
Congratulations. Yeah. When this episode comes out, they'll be wives 3 days in or something.
Yeah. So this person really hacked the system, though, to get a shout out in, because usually this is just a question, but they included a question. So what is the actual listener question?
Smart. Okay, the listener question is, what combination of Gen Q characters would be your spirit, dykes, or bikes? Combination? My mind goes first to Alice. Always has.
Yes.
Always will.
I mean, yeah, I'm taking this question, like, who do I see myself in the most? And for sure, for me, it's Alice.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, but well, no, they're still Gen Q characters. I'm like, were they talking about the new?
Okay.
So, that doesn't apply for me.
If we're talking about Gen Q characters combination, what if I said Genie? What if I said the Persian ones? What if
you're just a melting pot of them?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I'm tooting my own horn by being like, oh, yeah, the hottest one, probably. The most magnetic, well-rounded, perfect in every way character, I'd have to say, for me. What about you?
I would say Angie, because as a teenager, I felt like sometimes maybe I was a little bit more emotionally mature than the people around me.
Mm. Okay.
No, I don't know. I think for sure it's Alice.
Yeah. It's Alice and Tom, to be honest. I love Donald Faison so much.
Tom is so relatable. I do love Tom. Tom is like the sleeper favorite character of this season for me.
They're the funniest. But
yeah, for Alice, I mean, obviously it's like the parallels with, you know, she has a talk show. She likes to interview people. She likes gossip. She is interested in what everybody's doing. I love all those things. She's also a great friend, and I try to be a great friend to the friends in my life. She can get a little crazy in relationships. I don't know.
Yeah.
Sometimes she makes questionable decisions. Hey, who hasn't been there?
Right.
Like, I will joke a lot about how she invited, you know, Nat's ex-wife into a thruple. Is that something that I would say would be an impossible situation? Like, if that situation had happened, I wouldn't say I would never do something like that. Like, yeah. Honestly. Yeah. If Cecilia's ex-wife was like smoking hot and looked like Gigi and had like Gigi vibes, I might be like, hey, let's do it.
I was with you on everything until that. But yeah.
I wouldn't advise it. Objectively, yeah. It's a terrible decision that I like to make fun of. But also, I've been known to make questionable decisions. And that's why it's Alice for me.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Alice is the best.
I don't think, you know, I was trying to like really reach and find a long explanation for this answer, but I think really this listener just wanted the shout out. So, okay, you know, great, best of luck to you and Emily. Yeah, enjoy. And if you want more Gen Q thoughts and takes, go to our Patreon. Did I put
that's where they live.
This episode? Yeah.
Yeah.
They are all there. I know. Someone was like, why aren't you doing L Word recaps? I'm like, we are on the Patreon. Except this week, we don't actually recap the episode. It wasn't a great one.
We recap the watch party.
The watch party, which is where the drama actually lives. Where all
Genie
the action.
In the bar. Hashtag yeah. Genie in the bar. What bar? Henrietta Hudson. At whose
why?
Show? Dyking Out.
Dyking Out. Thanks to Maker's Mark for paying us to be
yes,
there.
Hey! Thank you so much.
Well, for more breaking Celesbian news, follow us at Dyking Out. We are really, you know, if you want pictures where you can crop us out of and share on your Tumblrs, please follow us at Dyking Out. Follow me at TGI Carolyn.
Follow me at Melody Kamali.
We even made a TikTok. I made a TikTok because what happened was I was about to post on Instagram a video that Cecilia edited so nicely of various footage from that night.
Mm-hmm.
And then Instagram went down. I was like, oh, no, it's because we broke the internet already with this. And they know it's coming
again. Oh,
that's
why people are commenting that. I didn't realize you tried to post it on the
I
great
tried
outage.
To post it then. And then I was like, well, I guess I got to do it through TikTok. And did it through TikTok and then shared it to
okay, well, where
Instagram.
Can people find that TikTok?
Dyking Out Podcast
okay.
on TikTok. Which you've promised you'd be TikToking more. All right, let's wrap
Listen,
it up. Thank you
I've
so much.
I've had this new phone for a week. I'm on it.
Okay.
After these watch parties.
I know. I was like, man, had we been like TikToking this live, we'd be TikTok stars right now.
I know.
We'd have sponsors.
There's only two of us.
It's hard. Okay.
All right. We got to go.
Thank you for listening.
Let's see you next Tuesday.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.